Sutherland, can you please come in here as we are about to wind the discussion on these items raised from the Codex Committee on Food Additives and Contaminants?
Thank you, Chair, for remembering our wish to intervene. Switzerland congratulates ECFAC for all the results achieved at the last meeting. However, we would like to refer to the discussions regarding the priority list of substances for evaluation by CECFA and note that due to a lack of time, it wasn't possible to discuss the CECFA priority list fully. Therefore, Switzerland would like to request the CCFAC to include lignin sulfonate among the first group of the priority list. Thank you for taking note.
Thank you, Switzerland, and we are checking, and we shall endorse your request. First Secretary, please.
Thank you very much. I would like to point out that there are existing procedures and for getting compounds on the priority list for CECFA. We have a priorities working group within CCFAC, and by coming now into the Codex Commission meeting with the request to be put as high priority on the priority list, if you allow me to say, that sort of undermines the existing procedure. The problem we are having is that the priority list is already very, very long. The financial problems we are facing within CECFA have already been mentioned in this committee. So I would strongly, strongly argue that the request is put back and brought into the regular procedure going through the Codex, the CCFAC priorities working group in the next session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CECFA Secretary. And we note that it's a request put by Switzerland to this commission. We note the anomaly, but Switzerland again clearly said there was no time to discuss the priority list in the last CCFAC meeting, and that's why we're checking with the Secretary as a matter of procedure. Secretary, please, you have come up with an answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we would like to confirm what was mentioned by the Secretary of CECFA. There are procedures, and this should be considered by the relevant committee, because in the Commission we cannot really enter into discussion on whether an additive or a contaminant should be on the priority list, so this is not really the role of the Commission. So we would like to confirm what was said by the Secretary of CECFA. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Secretary, for the clarification. And Switzerland, you want the floor again?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, we also confirm what the CECFA Secretariat just said and the Codex Secretariat. It just maybe to put things correctly, the lignin sulfonate, we followed the procedure, just like previously explained by the CECFA Secretariat, and the substance that we are talking about is already on the priority list. Now, we were referring to the discussions which took place this year at the CCFAC, and that due to the lack of time during that meeting, the substances which were already, I mean, there's, on the priority list, there's like priority A and priority B. So these substances were not really examined fully. So our request was that the lignin sulfonate be put on the priority list A, but it's really an address to the CCFAC and from the Swiss delegation at the Commission session. And we very well understand that it's not at the Commission session that we will enter these technical discussions. But we followed the procedure entirely, but due to lack of time, the priority list was not really examined fully at the session of the CCFAC this year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Salma, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, we would defer to the Secretary of CECFA, but in this case, as perhaps as we mentioned, there is not really the expertise here or possibility to discuss what type of priority should be allocated to any substance. So in that case, delegation of Switzerland might also contact directly CECFA and send the relevant data and perhaps ask to put it on the list, but also we take note of what was mentioned by a colleague from WHO that the list of substance for evaluation is already very, very important. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma, and I'm sure the Switzerland delegation is comfortable. Then can we go to the next agenda, item on the agenda, and that is revision of the GSFA descriptor of food category 13.6, food supplements. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the view of the Secretariat, this item needs required discussion under the present item only if certain certain amendments to the food category system that had already been discussed under item 4 had not been approved, because that part had already been addressed under another item. We see that there is no need to proceed with discussion of this item, and I see the CCFAC chair nodding. So, Mr. Chairman, this will conclude the discussion items referred to the Commission from CCFAC. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification, and the Commission might also take note of the issues, matters for information, and these are on paragraphs 12, 13 and 14. If we can just take note of the information contained in those paragraphs. Okay, the next is matters raised during the 16th session of the Codex Committee on Residues of Veterinary Drugs in Foods. And in particular, we are on paragraph 15 and 16 and 17 of Alnom 06/29/9C-2. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your reference is correct, but I would also like to refer the Commission to the discussion that took place in the Executive Committee on this particular matter last week, and the reference is document ARINOM 06/29/3A. Paragraph 24. Last week, the Executive Committee noted that the CCRVDF had developed a compendium method of analysis as suitable for support to Codex MRLs and discussed the status. The Executive Committee recommended that the Commission note the existence of documents without adopting it as a official Codex text, and agreed that the Secretariat should make it publicly available in such a way as to make it most useful to members. And the Executive Committee also suggested that the CCRVDF be invited to revise the compendium regularly as appropriate to keep it updated. Mr. Chairman, therefore, the Commission is being requested whether it feels comfortable with the recommendation from the Executive Committee on how to deal with this text. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And is there an objection from the Commission as to the Commission recommending, endorsing the recommendation from the Executive Committee? Paragraph 24, Alnom 06/29/3A. Seeing none, then we endorse the recommendation. Thank you very much. Then the next one is Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next paragraph 17 of the main working document is basically for information only, but it refers to the matter that was discussed in the CCGP in relation to the status of Codex standards adopted on an interim basis or on a temporary basis. Because of the particular nature of the evaluation by JECFA and the way in which the CCRVDF work on the recommendation with JECFA, the CCRVDF agreed to leave in place temporary MRL for tilmicosin in sheep milk until JECFA had evaluated the data in view of the strong commitment of the sponsor to make available radio-labeled residue depletion study in dairy cattle and of two residue depletion studies for further evaluation by JECFA. So this is for the Commission to note that there is still a exception, the standards of certain exceptional nature in the Codex Alimentarius Commission, but the Commission could look forward to the situation be regularized in the very near future. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Again, the Commission has not really asked for any action but to take note of the information, and we note the information. Thank you. Can we go to matters raised from the 27th session of the Codex Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, please?
Can I ask Salma to?
Salma, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We know that this looks a little complicated, but we will try to explain. The Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, part of its role of coordination with other organizations working in the area of standardization, as you know, has already adopted several texts from IUPAC, ISO, AOAC by reference. In this case, the TCMR considered the International Harmonized Protocol for Proficiency Testing of Laboratories, which had been updated in 2006 by IUPAC, ISO, AOAC. This protocol is already referred to in a codex text, which is the Guidelines for the Assessment of Competence of Testing Laboratories, CACGL 2797. And there is a reference to the Harmonized Protocol there, and we wanted to draw the attention to the of the Commission to the update of the protocol and the need to change the reference. The Committee on Methods of Analysis had the text of the revised protocol and found that there was no substantial changes, there was some update, and that it could update the reference and keep the reference to this protocol with the updated reference. That's up to paragraph 20. So now that's how it would read in the guidelines number 27. Then in paragraph 21 and 22-23, we explain that in fact this protocol, which is mentioned in the guidelines by reference, was also adopted as a specific codec text, always by reference, but it was in 1995, which is quite some time ago, and it was presented in the appendix to the Alinom and officially adopted by the Commission by reference for this protocol and also another protocol, design and interpretation of collaborative studies. However, they were not referred to by a specific codex number because that was many years ago, and perhaps it was not so systematic at the time to assign a number like codex standards and related texts to some texts which were adopted by reference. So that was only to correct that and to put an identification number to the guidelines, which were adopted in 95, and so it would be CACGL with some reference, and then they would be clearly identified and they would be in the list of codex standard and a reference to the revision in 2006 with the amendment, as this protocol was amended, as we explained earlier. So I hope this is not too confusing, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma. And can I take the Commission to paragraph 20 of Alnom 06/29/9C add 2, and I wish to ask the Commission if there is any objection to us endorsing the proposal as contained in paragraph 20 and as it has been explained by Salma. Seeing none, then we endorse the proposal. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I had to consult and I had to make myself clear with explanation from the Secretariat, Salma, and I want to take the Commission to paragraph 23 of the same document, Alnom 06/29/9C add 2, and the Commission is invited to consider whether one or two reference numbers should be assigned to these protocols. And we understand there are two bullets there. Then as a Commission, we would recommend two reference numbers. And is there an objection to us recommending two reference numbers? Japan, please.
Thank you, Chair. We would like to comment, we would like to make comments and ask for clarification on the recommendations in paragraph 23. In paragraph 21, recommended protocols in appendix 5 of ARINOM 95/3 are referred to. This is recommended protocols for the design, conduct, and interpretation of collaborative studies and proficiency testing of analytical laboratories. We think this document is now the guideline 28. And in this guideline 28, three protocols are included for reference by Codex, and two of the documents the documents mentioned in paragraph 21 are under the bullets. In our understanding, instead of assigning guideline numbers to these documents, the guideline 28 was established. If this is correct, it should be sufficient to simply update the protocol in the guideline 28 rather than assigning guideline numbers to these documents. However, since this issue has not been addressed by CCMIS, we would like to suggest that the Commission invite CCMIS to clarify this issue at its next session. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan, for seeking clarification. And can I go back to Salma, please, if you could offer some clarification?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, this is up to the Commission. We can also refer, because there was there were different protocols, so that was just to see whether we could have different references, because one was updated and the others were not. But we can also refer it back to the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling. However, I hope this does not affect the decision on item 20, on paragraph 20, where we could put the update. So for the moment, we would mention the perhaps the update only in the GL 28, and then we would defer to the CCMAS whether these texts should be identified separately. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma. And ladies and gentlemen, it seems there is a clear need for clarification from CCMAS, and we shall therefore refer the clarification as has been proposed by Japan to CCMAS to be discussed in the next session of the committee. Is there any objection to that summary? Seeing none, then we refer to CCMAS for clarification in the next meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a position now to start looking and discussing agenda item 12. That's the relationship between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations. And the text we have to have in front of us is ALNOM 06/29/9D. And I wish to invite the Secretary to introduce the agenda item. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant working document is document 9D, but I would also like to draw the attention of the Commission to a number of information documents submitted by not only from IGOs but also from NGOs, and namely ISO. Mr. Chairman, the Section A of the main working document /9D covers the issues that relates to the relations between Codex and other international intergovernmental organizations. The Commission may recall that we shortly opened this agenda item and invited the Director General of OIE to make a very informative presentation. And in his introduction, he largely covered the information provided in paragraph 3 to 7 of this working document. Paragraph 8 refers to what interactions have taken place between Codex and IPPC recently, and the Commission may wish to note that the two secretariats of IPPC and of Codex are consulting each other to see whether there is any synergy that can be obtained in the area of certification between Codex and IPPC. Mr. Chairman, the information document submitted from the OIE is available to the Commission as full document in 3 languages, and we also have received submission from WTO, which is in 5 document, and from Joint FAO IAEA division, that is in 6 document in all 5 languages. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, the Commission may wish to invite the representatives of WTO and IAEA in this order to make a brief statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Then as a Commission, we note the information as presented by the Director General of OIE. We also note the consultations which are going on between the Secretary of the Commission and that of OIE, trying to see if there could be some synergies with regards to certification. And I now wish to invite I wish to invite WTO. We are consulting ourselves as who is representing WTO. Please, if you could identify yourself and also make your presentation, your brief presentation, please.
Thank you, Chair. As was mentioned, the report contained in INF-5 contains a summary of the activities and decisions of the WTO Committee on Sanitary and Phytosanitary Measures, in short, the SPS Committee, as well as a number of other WTO bodies since January 2005. Considering the time constraints, I will refrain from going over the points which are covered already in the report, but rather highlight and provide updates on some main issues, mainly in the SPS area. One of the main agenda items in the SPS committee meetings, which relates directly to the work of the 3 standard-setting organizations referenced in the SPS agreement, is monitoring the use of international standards. The procedure adopted by the SPS committee to monitor the use of international standards invites countries to identify specific trade problems they have experienced due to the use or non-use of relevant international standards, guidelines, or recommendations. These problems, once considered by the SPS committee, are drawn to the attention of the relevant standard-setting body. In March 2006, Sri Lanka raised its concerns regarding the need for a Codex standard for a maximum residue level of sulfur dioxide in cinnamon, an issue previously raised as a specific trade concern in the committee. Subsequently, the chairman of the SPS committee wrote a letter to the chairman of the Codex Alimentarius Commission, in this case yourself, to throw its attention to this matter. It seems that the adoption of the proposed draft food additive provisions of the GFSA under item 4 during this session of the Commission will be addressing directly and alleviating the concerns which had been raised by Sri Lanka. The SPS committee will certainly be interested in hearing about these recent developments and will welcome this quick turnaround. With respect to specific trade concerns raised in the SPS committee by members of the WTO, I would just like to indicate that of the 235 concerns raised so far in the committee since 1995, 27% were related to food safety. At the SPS committee meetings held in 2005 and 2006 so far, 9 new issues relating to food safety have been discussed. More details on these, as well as additional references, are available in the report submitted by the WTO. Another issue I would briefly like to highlight is the review of the agreement, of the implementation of the agreement. At the 2001 Doha Ministerial Conference, ministers decided that the SPS committee should review the operation and implementation of the agreement every 4 years. In 2004, the SPS committee began its second review of the agreement and adopted the report on the review of the operation of the SPS agreement in June 2005. This report recommends that the relevant international organizations keep the committee informed of any work they undertake with regard to the recognition of equivalence, as well as of their relevant capacity-building activities. The report also recommends that the SPS committee further clarify the relationship between the committee and the Codex, OIE and the IPPC, with a view to facilitating the implementation of the SPS agreement while avoiding duplication of activities. A number of documents have already been submitted by members to the committee in this regard, and discussions will continue in the upcoming meetings of the committee. With respect to technical assistance provided by the Secretariat, I would like to indicate that since 1994, representatives from the international standard-setting organizations have actively participated in the delivery of SPS regional workshops undertaken by the Secretariat, and the Codex Secretariat has participated in 56 of these regional workshops. The participation and substantive contributions of the Codex Secretariat form an integral part of WTO's training activities in the area of SPS, and we hope that the close collaboration in this regard can be continued. The Codex Secretariat makes very significant contributions to the work of the WTO, among others through its regular as well as ad hoc reports and explanations to the SPS committee, through its participation in technical assistance and training activities organized by the Secretariat, and through its contributions to the dispute settlement cases as necessary. And demands for their inputs are unlikely to diminish. They're rather likely to increase. In this context, the stretched resources of the Codex Secretariat are also of concern to the WTO. Lastly, in case it might be of interest for coordination purposes within delegations, I would just like to inform the Commission that the upcoming SPS committee meetings are tentatively scheduled for the following dates, from the 11th to the 13th of October in 2006, and then the 7th to the 9th of March, the 27th to the 29th of June, and 7th to the 19th of October in 2007. Thank you.
Thank you, WTO representative. Again, thank you, representative of WTO, and I wish to ask the secretary to give some small comments on the presentation we have just made.
But Sri Lanka would have to Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is there.
Okay, I see the flag of Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka, you want to say something, especially with the sulfur dioxide issue? Sri Lanka, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to congratulate the you and the Codex Secretariat, the excellent manner, the way the affairs is conducted in this committee. As correctly mentioned by the representative of the WTO, we had the trade problem. That was due to a variety of reasons. So we sought solution two mainly sources, bilaterally and the multilateral. And both ways, we received a very good positive response. And in this context, the chairman of the SPS committee, where I took up this matter, and he wrote to you, and the positive response, expedite solution provided for this issue of non-existence of the international standard or codex standard in this context, the food attitude, we have found, solution has been found. So this is a clear indication of how we cooperate each other, we can get a positive result. It's a real good example for S&D. At the same time, I would like to thank the delegation of the European Union. From the day we brought this problem to their notice, the manner in which they have positively responded. This is just to say our sincere appreciation both to you as well as the WTO Secretariat and the other trading partners, and especially also the members of this Commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Sri Lanka. And the Commission notes the appreciation note from Sri Lanka. European Community, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to echo the remarks of my colleague from Sri Lanka and to thank the Codex and in particular the CCFAC committee for facilitating a solution to what was potentially an important trade problem. They responded very promptly to the request from the SPS committee and established an MRL for sulphur dioxide in cinnamon, which we have just approved at step 5, step 8. And this in turn allowed trade to continue without any disruption. And it's a very good example where if the goodwill exists, international bodies such as the Codex can provide very practical and indeed prompt solutions to potentially sensitive trade problems. Thank you.
Thank you, European Community. Again, we also note the appreciation note from the European Community. And Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The interventions made by Sri Lanka and the European Community have rather taken out words from my mouth, so I don't have much to say, but the SPS, in reply to the letter from the chairperson of the SPS committee, the Codex Commission will officially reply and provide factual information to the next session of the SPS committee. And next, we will coordinate with the parent organizations so that the information on the recent technical assistance or capacity building activities offered by FAO and WHO be made available to the next session of the SPS committee. We have not been aware of the fact that the Secretariat participated as many as 56 regional workshop of the organized by WTO in which we participate and explain to mainly developing country WTO members the implication of the SPS agreement and in particular the standard setting process of the within the Codex Alimentarius Commission. So this is sort of hidden activities of the Codex Secretariat, which nevertheless taking up a lot of human resources from the Secretariat. We very much want to continue our collaboration at the request of the WTO, but we also acknowledge the statement made by the WTO representative to the need to further strengthen the capacity of the Codex Secretariat. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And I see there's another positive note from Sudan. Sudan, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس على إعطاء هذه الفرصة ونحن أيضا في السودان نثمن على الدور الكبير الذي تلعبه منظمة التجارة العالمية ونسير في نفس الخط والنهج الذي ذكرته سريلانكا والمجموعة الأوروبية ويمكن لعله في شهرين الماضيين سجلت لنا منظمة التجارة العالمية حوالي 3 زيارات، والهيئة السودانية للمواصفات والمقاييس والتي أتشرف بإدارتها هي نقطة الاتصال لما يخص الصح والصح النباتية والعوائق الفنية التجارية. فنحن سعداء لحجم التدريب وكل ما يتصل بهذه المنظمة، ونسعى أن نكون قريبا أعضاء فيها. شكرا جزيلا.
Thank you, Sudan. And the last brief positive note from Chile, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Espero que sea positiva. Me quiero referir a, dentro de todos los temas que tenemos con la OMC en común y que hay que hacer también un trabajo bastante intenso, a un tema que salió en el Comité de Principios Generales en el momento en que nosotros decidimos abolir el sistema de revisión de la normativa internacional, porque no se usaba aquí dentro del Códex. Pero sí es importante el monitoreo de todo el trabajo que estamos haciendo en el proceso normativo. Si realmente el producto que estamos sacando acá en la Comisión, de que son las normas internacionales, la están aplicando los países o no la están aplicando los países miembros. Y eso es un trabajo conjunto que dijo el Comité de Principios Generales habría que desarrollar entre la Comisión del Codex Alimentarius y la Organización Mundial del Comercio. La Organización Mundial del Comercio tiene algunos instrumentos, como es el tema de las notificaciones, donde se indica en un acápite cuando una norma difiere de la normativa internacional. Por tanto, hay instrumentos que, elaborándolos en conjunto, puede desarrollarse un monitoreo de la norma internacional. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chile, for that information. And maybe the secretary would like to say a word, at least with regards to what you have raised.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much. Quickly, 2 points. When replying to the intervention made by the WTO, I missed to say that the travel costs to enable the Codex Secretariat member to participate in the regional SPS workshop is exclusively borne by the WTO, and it is not affecting the Codex budget. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank WTO for its generous arrangements to enable or Codex Secretary to participate in those meetings and explain how Codex does its work. Secondly, Mr. Chairman, the point made by the delegation with Chile is quite right. Even after the abolition of acceptance procedures, we can also get information from the exercise being undertaken by the SPS committee. And also within the Codex system, the Executive Committee, upon the recommendations of the Executive Committee, the Commission has decided to use the sessions of the coordinating committees to discuss the use or non-use of Codex standards and related texts at the regional level. This provides another venue to discuss the matter within Codex system. So this is 2 points of clarification I wanted to give.
Thank you, Secretary, for that clarification. And WTO, for wrapping up the discussion, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'll try to be very brief just to follow up on the comment made by the delegation of Chile. Indeed, members are not obliged to notify their measures, change measures or new measures, if they follow an international standard. And this issue has already been raised in the committee. And some members, even if they're just following an international standard, not just, they are following an international standard, they do notify, but it's not the common practice. And not only Chile, but a number of other delegations have already raised this issue and proposed that all such measures are notified to the, through the WTO to other members. And this is indeed an issue where members' active participation is sought in the committee in the context of the review of the agreement, where members can indeed agree to revise the guidelines on notification procedures if they so wish.
Thank you, WTO, for that clarification. I have the honor to invite the representative from IAEA to give a short statement, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the Secretariat noted, we have submitted an information paper under CAC 29 IMF number 6. That paper highlights the activities of the joint FAO-IAEA Division of Nuclear Techniques and Food and Agriculture, but particularly the activities of the Food and Environmental Protection Subprogram. Before getting into that paper, and I won't repeat what's in that paper, I'd like to first note back to Alinorm 06299D, the Joint Division did, in fact, participate at the IPPC Commission of Phytosanitary Measures that was held in Rome this past April. And I'm pleased to note that the IAEA, the Joint Division, will host the first technical panel on phytosanitary treatments in Vienna from the 4th to the 8th of December 2006. This panel obviously will look at many phytosanitary treatments for fresh fruits and vegetables, including the use of irradiation for phytosanitary applications, including for quarantine treatments. Now, briefly going back to the information paper, I just want to note that in addition to our coordinated research project on pesticide management practices, where we're currently calling for proposals for research agreement holders as well as participating laboratories, we're also going to conduct or have commenced a coordinated research project on the application of radio tracer technologies to seafood safety risk assessment. We do, of course, under the department, have a marine and environment laboratory in Monaco, and we will be holding a consultation to develop this coordinated research project. That will be held from the 25th to the 27th of September this year, and both the FAO and WHO secretaries to JECFA have also been invited to participate in that meeting. As for our training workshops, Mr. Chairman, we have annual workshops of 1 month in length. One of those workshops will be held in September this year, and that has to do with quality assurance and quality control measures in pesticide residue analytical laboratories. In fact, we have two FAO fellows from their TC program in Rome at this, in Vienna at this point, training at our laboratories. I just want to announce that we will also have at our Cyberstorf laboratories an interregional training course for developing countries on screening and confirmatory methods for veterinary drug residues. This is planned to be held in September and October of 2007. Once again, Mr. Chairman, other activities are highlighted in the Information 6 document. There is also a reference to our website, which, of course, is a great venue or a great opportunity to see more of our activities, particularly the Food and Environmental Protection Subprogram. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you, Representative of IAEA. We note the information as you have provided, and we also note and encouraged by the different activities you are taking, and I wish to invite the floor for any comment.
Seeing none, again we thank IAE, IAEA, it's a long abbreviation. So, Secretary, please, can we go to Part B of our main working document, on 06/29/9D, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There was a previous recommendation and endorsed by the Commission, by the Executive Committee, that the Codex Secretariat should maintain close contact with the ISO Secretariat and inform the Commission of the activities of ISO relevant to the work of Codex. ISO being one of the Codex observers, ISO has participated in some Codex subsidiary body sessions, namely CCFIX sessions, to inform the relevant activities of ISO in relation to the mandate of CCFIX, for instance. However, at the juncture of this Commission session, we have requested ISO Secretariat for Technical Committee 34 food products on the activities that can be considered as relevant to Codex work and the ongoing standard setting work by ISO TC 34 is summarized in Table 1 to this document. ISO has submitted more general information documents that encompass all ISO work of interest to Codex, not limited to the work of TC 34, and the information document exists in two languages, English and French, which is INF/7 document. Mr. Chairman, at this point of time, the Commission may wish to request the representative ISO to make a short statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. Can we ask the representative of ISO, please, to make a statement? ISO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to briefly update this 29th session of the CAC. As Commission members would know, there's a long history of collaboration between Codex and ISO, especially with our ISO Technical Committee TC34 on food products. In recent years, ongoing communication with the Codex Secretariat and regular updates to the Commission have been made to further enhance this coordination and to help avoid duplication of efforts. ISO's voluntary international standardization activities are certainly complementary to the important intergovernmental work of Codex, with more than 300 ISO standards on analysis and sampling being endorsed by Codex. More recently, TC34 has developed or is developing standards in such key areas as food safety management systems, ISO 22000, traceability in the feed and food chain, and food irradiation. And more information on these and other areas of relevance to the Commission are indicated in the information document 7. In addition to this paper, though, I wish to inform the Commission about a recently proposed new field of technical activity in ISO. On 19 June 2006, a proposal from the ISO member from Norway, SN, was circulated on the subject of fisheries and aquaculture. A new ISO committee is proposed to consider such aspects as environmental awareness, monitoring of biological resources, interface between technology and biology, animal health and welfare, food safety and traceability, and occupational health and safety related to fisheries and aquaculture. The work program proposes to deal with such areas as terminology, test methods, performance requirements, procedures, dimensions, and tolerances, technical specifications and formats for information storage and exchange. The proposal explicitly indicates Codex as an organization with whom formal liaison should be established. So ISO members must submit their vote on this new proposal before 19 September 2006. Commission members interested in reviewing and commenting on the proposal are encouraged to contact the ISO member in their country, in advance of this date. For information and easy access by Commission members, we will also provide a copy of the proposal to the Codex Secretariat. So I thank you for the opportunity to have provided this update and wish Codex members a successful completion of this 29th session.
Thank you, representative from the ISO, and can I open the floor for any comments? United States of America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At last year's Codex meeting, Commission meeting in Rome, members may recall that the United States raised our concerns about potentially overlapping work going on in ISO and Codex. Since last year, we believe that there has been progress in addressing this issue, and we really appreciate the presentation just made by the head of TC34. It was very informative. We also note the very interesting article by Dr. Miyagishima in the publication ISO Focus this spring that discussed cooperative work. But despite this progress, we believe that additional work needs to be done as potential areas of overlap continue to come up. The representative, for instance, just noted a very new area that's going around for comment on aquaculture that, of course, is a very active area in Codex as well, just as an example. So we urge all Codex members to become more involved in, even in their national bodies, to ISO to help to ensure that the Codex work is taken into account in ISO. For our part, U.S. representatives are becoming more involved in our work, too, in ISO, working with our American National Standards Institute that represents us there to head off problems and to foster greater cooperation between ISO and Codex at the national level. And we encourage all members to do likewise. It's very rewarding, and I think it can also help. We do believe that it can help address this potentially troublesome problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, United States of America, and we note the appreciation note that something has been done to avoid overlapping, and also we also note your encouragement to member states to foster more cooperation at national level between Codex and the ISO representatives in the view of trying to avoid overlap in the work of the Codex and ISO. Chile, please, and maybe you'll be the last speaker on this issue. Chile.
Gracias, señor presidente. Brevemente, también creo que en la necesidad de que si esta comisión va a desarrollar algún procedimiento para relacionarse con entidades no gubernamentales en forma más estrecha, debe comenzar por la ISO. Hay objetivos comunes bastante importantes, también es necesaria la sinergia y no la duplicación, y nos parece bastante interesante lo planteado por Estados Unidos. Por ejemplo, en el Comité Nacional nuestro podemos invitar como observador a un representante de ISO para comenzar a intercambiar a nivel nacional e incluirlo en nuestros trabajos. Gracias, señor presidente.